Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. This is a, I think, fairly important update out of Vizsla Silver. The new acquisition, acquiring a new district in Mexico, the Lagoa Matatas district. I am chatting with Mike Connert, president and CEO of Vizsla Silver. Vizsla Silver is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VZLA. And under on the NYSE, under that same symbol, VZLA. Mike, let's talk about this new district that Vizsla Silver is acquiring. It's right in between Panuco and San Dimas. I'll post the location map from the news release that was just released today, March 28th. Mike, talk to us about the consolidation of this area. How did it come together? What drew you to this new district for the company?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, we're thrilled about this acquisition. It's really an incredible opportunity for us to add some incredible land in probably the hottest silver district in the world right now, which is you know, our Panuco to San Dimas corridor in Sinaloa, what we're calling the Sinaloa Silver Belt. So this is really great. It's another project very similar to Panuco that we've acquired from private Mexican hands. And the history is very similar here. It dates back to the Spanish. You know, this is a district that's seen small scale but high grade mining over many centuries, but has never been explored, never been systematically explored, never been explored really at all using modern techniques. So it bears, you know, many striking similarities to what we like at the Panuco district. It has, you know, very similar north-northwest trending structures like we see with Napoleon. And similar to Napoleon, there's a 2.5 kilometer structure that strikes along the property here that's, you know, number of mine workings on it that have evidence of great high-grade historic mines. So we're connecting this trend here between San Dimas, which is one of the 9 billion ounce silver districts in Mexico, one of the 14 in the world, and our project, which is the world's largest undeveloped high-grade silver resource.
So, Mike, can you give us any more information on some of that historic production that has happened at this district?
Well, some of the old reports, and there's not a lot of reports. This is kind of a district that, you know, has been forgotten by time. But, you know, there's some local reports of Spanish mining there. There's old Spanish mines that have been lost and never been found there that have been reported on. But some of the mining that was occurring about 100 years ago in the early 1900s really was mining about kilo material, kilo plus material, and actually milling and smelting on site there. So, you know, we know that there's high grade material there in terms of run of mill. You know, historically it would have been a lot higher grade in probably the multiples of kilos of silver equivalent. But I think, you know, what's exciting here is that, you know, it's not something that we're going to shift our attention to and start drilling tomorrow. But this offers us a pipeline of development projects as we move the Panuco district into production. And we've always taken a long view of our role here in the silver industry and our role in Sinaloa. And we think Sinaloa is one of the best places on earth to build you know, a multi-asset silver producer.
Talk to us about the acquisition costs then. There's a little bit of cash involved as well as shares, overall costs. How much of a company market cap is this costing Vizsla?
So this is right around 2.5% of our market cap, which is really quite incredible. It's about a quarter of what it cost us to acquire the Panuco and Copala projects originally. So, you know, I think we're paying a, you know, a reasonable price here for something that I think will be worth multiple times as we continue to unlock value here. So it's about $3 million in cash and about 5 million shares of Vizsla. So really, you know, an approachable sum here when you think about what we paid to acquire the Copala and Panuco district.
Now, when it comes to corporate strategy, you hinted at it a little bit there. As you move forward with Panuco to bring that into production, you then have this new district for exploration. But what does that look like, say, through the balance of this year into 2025?
You know, our vision and our goal hasn't changed at all along this path here, and it's to de-risk and develop the Panuco project in our center of mass in the west, while trying to find other centers of mass across our project at the Panuco Copala district. But, you know, we came across this, we were introduced to this district, we'd heard, you know, rumors about it for many years, and we're introduced to this by some people that are connected to our company in you know, in Mexico that, you know, are familiar with what we're doing here and thought we'd be the best people to take this project forward here. So, you know, we knew that when we saw it, we had to be the owners of this project moving forward. We didn't want any other competitors to, to own this project in what we consider our backyard. And we believe that this also allows us now to have a real pipeline of projects that could very well be, you know, 2 billion ounce districts in this area of Mexico, which, you know, when you're onto a big discovery, when you're onto major metal discovery like this, and you know it's, you know, connected in a line to one of the largest silver equivalent producers in the world, and it bears many striking resemblances to it, you know, you have to acquire a project like this. So we did that. You know, it doesn't change our overall strategy of driving the Panuco district into production as fast as possible, you know, doing it, you know, the right way, but as fast as possible, and then getting into cash flow. At that point, we can look at, you know, the development at the Lagoa Metates district.
What does this mean for exploration at Panuco then? I understand you're moving that into production, but you were telling us there was still a lot of exploration potential on that district as well. So does that slow down at Panuco?
No. If anything, it doesn't actually change our goals at Panuco at all. We're continuing now. Actually, we've had some exciting developments in how we're exploring for those new centers of mass. And, you know, we've actually started to work with a couple of high technology providers to give us more targeting, to give us an opportunity to look at where these centers of mass may be actually located without spending as much dollars on drilling. So we're expecting to spend the second half of the year working with our drill rig to make discoveries, to make new discoveries. But right now, the next few months here at Vizsla are all about de-risking the project ahead of the PEA.
Let's talk about some of that recent news then. March 20th, we had some further results from Copala and the splays at the Copala area. 27 holes were released, a mix of infill and holes drilled to expand mineralization. What did you learn from those? How are they further de-risking this major portion of this project at Copala?
Well, you know, Copala is certainly the backbone of the resource here, and it's kind of a freak of nature. And actually, just as an aside, we have seen some similarities to what we have at Copala in terms of a flatline, high-grade structure at that new district, Lagoa Metates district as well. So it's possible that we may see these types of structures continue north and into that property, which is exciting. But, you know, the drilling that we've seen here just shows that this project and the Copala vein on this project has a lot of broad, thick and continuous mineralization, and that our infill drilling is doing exactly what we want it to. It's de-risking the project and showing that continuity across these structures.
So what about that PEA then? Time frame again, just reiterate to everybody what they can expect and, well, what they should be watching for.
So we're still planning mid-year here. That hasn't changed. And, you know, that's basically going to set the stage for us to drive the project forward into production and through the various stages that we need to go. But, you know, some of the work that we're doing at the PEA, well, most of it actually has to do with mine planning and how important that is. So, you know, that's why this infill drilling is increasingly important with what we're doing here at the project and with the PEA. And that's going to inform basically the next steps when it comes to, you know, our underground bulk testing that we're planning later this year.
Now, what about the expanding of that mineralization at Copala? That recent news release, March 20th, again, said that it did extend mineralization by 100 meters down dip to the southeast. What sort of other expansion potential is possible at Copala?
Well, you know, it certainly is possible to continue along strike in both directions. There's also splay veins and, you know, intersecting structures that we're only learning about now. So I think, you know, stay tuned, because Copala certainly isn't done growing, and we can still grow to the south and the north along strike.
Let's talk financing again then, because February 29th, the company closed a $34.5 million bought deal. And one of the most recent news release, March 27th, you also announced an ATM at the market option to raise, I believe, up to $50 million for the company. What's it going to look like managing cash now, moving Copala forward with this other district in the background?
Well, the best part about this district is that it doesn't actually cost us very much at all to hold. The acquisition fees are over 2 years. So it's actually a very reasonable, back-weighted and approachable deal in terms of the cash flow of the company. And, really our cash that we've raised is focused on basically de-risking the project, increasing the EV per ounce metric that we get from the market. And then, in the future, raising money at a much higher multiple. But right now, we're very well funded. We don't need to raise money. This acquisition of the district absolutely does not change, the financial shape of the company. If anything, it just makes it far more attractive and makes us even more criminally undervalued.
So what about the other exploration then going on at Panuku broadly, that district there that we can talk about exploration?
Well, you start to see these other centers of mass forming. Of course, the old Animas area, which is, this kind of historic center of mass where even the Spanish started mining a number of hundreds of years ago. And, there's still a lot to be found there. I mean, up until recently, there had been commercial mining there at that part of Animas. So, I don't think we know everything to know about that part of Animas. And then when you head to the south, that mining really never spread to the southern end of Animas. So, as we get into that San Dimas, Camellia area, which is an area on our map, our claim map, we've started to see some lower angle, high grade structures there from our sampling. So, the southern end of Animas into kind of the southeastern part of the property looks very prospective for us, and really excited about potentially drilling there later this year. And then you have this whole gap zone between, where we are right now. So Napoleon, Copala, and then, San Antonio and southern Animas or that San Dimas area. There's areas, across that southern half or, hemisphere of the project that really no one's ever probably been to, no one's ever really explored. And we're starting to use, things like electromagnetics and airborne surveys to help us inform where we should probably go look for continuation of veins and structures that we see across the district. So, we've got the first 300 million ounces there in the West. That's a great start when it comes to mining. In fact, it's the world's largest undeveloped high-grade silver resource. But now we can step back a little bit and not take our time, but approach these things in a really methodical and sensible way that's going to lead to new discoveries across this district.
So it really sounds like Vizsla as a company here has a pipeline of exploration targets at Copala and then also at this new district. How many years does this give you in terms of drilling potential of testing new targets, new areas?
Well, my goodness, we could be doing this, for a very, very long time going forward. So, these are the types of districts that last for centuries. They're still making new discoveries at San Dimas, and they've produced, over 600 million ounces of silver and I think over 6 million ounces of gold there at San Dimas. So these are the kind of things that just keep on going. So we'll be here for a very long time.
So, Mike, what about this spin out then? You had some news that provided an update on a vote that was coming for that spin out, the royalty moving there. But now you're bringing in a whole new district into Vizsla Silver as the company. So how should everyone look at this spin out that's coming?
Well, the spin out is only relating to the royalty on the Panuco district that we have here. It'll be effectively for the company, for Vizsla Silver, a 2% royalty across the district. But for Vizsla Royalty, it'll be varying between 0.5% and 2% across various concessions across the district. And that royalty spin-up will really only have that royalty in it. So it doesn't affect the new addition to the portfolio here. It's really the focus and the vision for Vizsla Royalty is to give shareholders exposure to the upside of this entire district, whatever happens to the Panuco project, in case silver prices go absolutely crazy and a larger silver company than us wants to pay us an outrageous amount of money to acquire the project, shareholders will still have that upside when it comes to VROY.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for this update. Boy, oh boy, we covered a lot here. So if anybody wants more information on anything we talked about, or you have any questions for Mike, please email me. I'll get Mike to address those. I'll also follow up as we get more information on what the company is working on. Again, this year, the updates, when we get closer to the PEA, as well as any more news on this new district that was just acquired. So, Mike, thank you very much for your time and sharing some of the details on the news that just broke today.
Well, thank you very much, Corey. It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.